turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 1. You know, we all know why we're here. I pray that you do, because we are here to celebrate the greatest event in the event of human mankind. Amen? And that is not a holiday. We're not, Resurrection Sunday is not a holiday. Amen. It is a supernatural event that occurred 2,000 years ago. Amen. And so we're here to say, listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he walked out of that tomb. Our faith is not in the empty tomb. Our faith is in the one who walked out of that tomb. Amen. And he will never leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. So if we look back, the triumphal entry of Christ a week ago, Sunday, that came into the exact city, to the exact people, on the exact animal, at the exact time. Why? Well, according to the scriptures, amen? That is miraculous. But everything Jesus does is miraculous, amen? And so here we are, and so the triumphal entry, never repeated again, it's over. Good Friday, all the violence and the abuse and the viciousness of that horrible day, even though we call it Good Day, it's over. No more suffering. He took all of our sin, all of our shame, and the last words he said, it is finished, and it remains finished forever and ever and ever. Amen. He has done it all. So what did he do? Well, death, hell, the grave, the devil, man, the power of sin, the consequences of sin, well, they have been stripped of their power. Boy, man, the single greatest event in human history, Jesus crucified, buried, rose from the dead on the second day? First day? The third day? Why? Because God said he would. According to the scriptures. Say that with me. According to the scriptures. That's what it's all about. And then what did Jesus do? He rose from the dead, and then he ascended. And now he is seated at the right hand of majesty upon high. And one day, it might be today, at the end of this service, in the middle of this service, but one day, Jesus is coming for his church. And do you know why he's coming for his church? It is according to the scriptures, amen? Because God's word said so. Now, no other religion in all of the history of mankind would even dare make that confession that Jesus, that their founders rose from the dead. No, all of the world's religious founders, loved one, they are in their graves. And you know why? They're dead. They're dead, loved one, but our founder rose from the dead, and guess what? He lives in you. He lives in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And praise the Lord, he is coming again. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, quickly. It says, now on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's today, early, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, and they were bringing spices which they had prepared. You know what I love about the women of the Bible? They were so faithful. They so loved the Lord Jesus, didn't they? And here they are, the women who followed Jesus. And verse 10 gives us their names. We'll see that in a minute. It's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. And they look up in chapter 23. Just go up from verse 1 of chapter 24 and look at verse 55. It says, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and said how they had observed how they had laid his body. Then they returned and prepared spices, fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So here they're now coming back to the tomb, and they are going to finish the anointing that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, that they started. Remember the 100 pounds of the perfume and all the stuff that they used? And so that shows us something. And they're so sincere. But they're not looking for the risen Lord, are they? They're looking for their Savior, but they believe that he is dead. It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and we remember how it happened. Remember what the chief priest wanted? They went to Pilate and begged him to set a seal upon the stone and that no one would roll it away and place the guards there, the Roman guards. In Matthew's gospel, the 28th chapter, the second verse, it tells us that then an angel from heaven descended, rolled back the stone from the entry and sat on it. I don't know why I love that. I mean, you know, and it says, and the guards who were there, they became like dead men. That means they fainted, all right? So listen, we all know the story. Listen, they rolled away the stone, you know, here, not to let Jesus out, loved one, but to let all of them come in and see. Amen? Now it says in verse 3, and then they went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord, Jesus. Now they expected to find his physical body, okay? And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Behold, two men, and verse 23 tells us that they're angels. These two angels, it says, stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They, meaning the angels, this is their Easter message, if you will. It says, the angel said to them, why do you seek the living, or literally, why do you seek the living one among the dead? And because they didn't believe Jesus was alive, amen? So what he says, what are you seeking? You know, there's no life in a graveyard. There's people that are here are all dead and so forth. There's no hope there. But Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Why? Look what the angel says. Verse 6. Well, he's not here. The reason? But is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, and what's that next word? Must. One more time. What is it? Must. The Son of Man must. A divine necessity. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they, the women, they remembered his words. Do you know one of the main reasons for a defeated life today for a Christian is? They don't remember the words of the Bible. They don't study the Bible. They don't memorize the words. Boy, when you need help, you need to know the Word of God. Amen? Yes. So listen, I want to say something about this. It says, remember how he spoke to you, the women. I don't believe for 1 minute that the women here had forgotten the resurrection promises of Jesus. But I believe that the resurrection promises from Jesus to them were now dead in their hearts, loved one, because they believed Jesus dead. They saw failure in the cross, not victory, okay? And so here's what's heartbreaking. Did these wonderful women who came, Mary Magdalene, to whom the Lord had cast out 7 demons. Let me ask you, did they still love Jesus? Yes. Did they still believe Jesus as Savior? For them, yes. So what was crushed? It was their hope was crushed. And they just didn't have hope in what he had promised anymore. And then it says in verse 9, and then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11, meaning the disciples, and to all the rest, everybody else that was in the area. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them. So it's a whole bunch of ladies. And it says, who told these things to the what? Apostles. Boy, and they were excited, weren't they? Look what happens. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, meaning that word literally means nonsense, pure nonsense. Only here that word idle tales, it's only here in the New Testament. It's a medical term, meaning like you're suffering from a horrible fever. You're having hallucinations. You're hysterical, in other words. They didn't believe them at all. And it says, and they did not believe them. So the very first people not to believe that Jesus rose from the dead were his own apostles. Does that break your heart? But you know what? Did the Sanhedrin, did they believe? They're the ones who said to Pilate, would you set the guards? Would you seal that tomb? They knew something was up, didn't they? But Peter arose, ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself at what happened. So John, the Gospel of John in chapter 20, verse 6 through 7, tells us what happened at the tomb too with Peter and John when they looked inside and what they saw. It says the linen cloths were just lying there, and the handkerchief or the face cloth that had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but were folded together in a place by itself. Remember one of the theories, the false theories that they tried to say that Jesus is the disciples stole the body of Jesus and so forth, or someone stole the body of Jesus out of the tomb. Listen, I have never met a thief who doesn't leave a mess behind. It says here, what was it? It says, but the linen cloths, they were folded together all by itself. They were neat robbers, right? No, that didn't happen, and you know it. So we have an empty tomb. We have empty grave clothes that our glorified Lord just passed right through. Now, listen carefully. We're going to jump to many places in the Scripture, okay? I want you to go back to verse 7 when they were talking to the women, the angels. It says, the Son of Man must, that divine necessity, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise on the third day again. Go to verse 22. The two sad, hopeless disciples remember leaving Jerusalem on the Emmaus Road, and of course the risen Savior comes up alongside of them, but they don't know it is the risen Savior. This is Sunday, that very day he rose from the dead. So in verse 22 of Luke 24, and they're talking to him, they don't know it's Jesus. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now look what Jesus, the resurrected Savior says. And then he, Jesus, said to them, oh, I totally understand. You know, times have been hard. No, look what he says. Oh, that's the Lord calling right now. And he says, when you pick up that phone, he's going to say, oh, foolish ones, and slow of what? Heart to believe in what? All that the prophets have spoken, meaning all of the books of the Bible, the Scriptures, and so forth. Now, I want you to look at this now. Jesus did not say slow of mind. He said, you are slow of heart. What does that mean? Well, loved one, isn't it with the heart that man believes? Absolutely, loved one. So you know what? We never want to be slow of heart to believe the promises of God. They're all true in Christ. Amen? Man, listen, Jesus said, if you don't believe the promises of God, all that was spoken, he says, you're foolish. See, what did Jesus tell us in John 17:17 about the Word of God? From the beginning to the very end, God's Word, the entirety of God's Word, he said, thy Word, O God, is truth. God cannot lie. The Bible is all true, loved one. Now go to verse 32 of Luke 24. And they, these two sad, hopeless disciples, they said one to another as Jesus was talking to them, did our heart, you see, you believe with your heart, don't you? Okay. Did not our heart burn within us while Jesus talked with us on the road? Now what caused their hearts to burn? There it is. While he opened the what? The Scriptures to us. It is always heartbreaking for me, and I know it is for you too. For those, the many today, they hear the truth of God's Word. They hear the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is true. It is a genuine historical event. Amen? It happened. Now, but they hear it, but they do so with cold hearts. And a cold heart doesn't believe, loved one. No, we want our hearts to burn just like those disciples did. And it comes from the living Word of God. Amen? Now go to verse 26 in Luke. And here it comes again. Watch this. Ought, that word means a divine must. Jesus said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, meaning the horrible events of Good Friday, and enter into his glory. In other words, go back to heaven and look what Jesus did to them. At the beginning of Moses, and how many of the prophets? All the prophets. That's the major prophets. That's the minor prophets, loved one. Moses, they're the first five books of the Bible, if you will. He expounded or explained clearly to them in what? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, the Lord is so incredible. He rises from the dead. It's Sunday. He rose early in the morning. Jerusalem is so quiet. And, you know, Pilate and all the rest of them, they are thinking, thank God it's all over with. He's dead. We don't have to put up with any of this anymore. And these two sad, hopeless disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're going back to their home. And when they do, the resurrected Savior takes time and comes to these two sad, hopeless disciples to encourage them. But you know what their problem really was? I just read it from that scripture. There's a little word there, all. That's a very important word. They didn't believe all that was written about the Lord. You see, all the scriptures concerning himself. What did Jesus tell the religious Pharisees? He said in John 5:39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He says, but these they bear witness about me. Now, you remember what happened at 7 miles down the Emmaus Road to the homes of the Cleophas and the other disciple, the nameless one, we don't know who he was. And they say to the Lord, and they don't know it's the Lord yet. And they say, oh, listen, it's evening. It's late. It's getting dark. Would you come in and abide with us? And Jesus, as a matter of fact, it says they constrained him. Can you imagine constraining God? And they constrained him, but Jesus wanted to come in. He was just playing with them. And so, you know, it's dark. He goes in and they, of course, prepare a table and he sits down at the table and everything. It's late and it's getting dark. And then all of a sudden, Jesus revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Amen? And then he immediately vanished. And boy, all of a sudden, when they realized that they were talking to the risen Savior, that he indeed had risen from the dead, what did they do? Man, their hearts were on fire, burning from the what Jesus had just shared to them. They returned to Jerusalem, went all the way back that night, found the 11 disciples, and they told them that Jesus had appeared to them. Look at verse 35. It says, and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how Jesus, or the Messiah, he was made known to them, again, in the breaking of bread. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. He appeared supernaturally. And he said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And here it comes. Why do doubts arise in your minds? No, loved one. That's so important. It is with the heart that man believes, okay? He says, oh, why are doubts arising in your hearts? Behold, or literally, look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, meaning your Lord, your Savior. Handle me, touch me, see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them what? He created a whole new world to prove it? No. He made the sun and the moon disappear or something? No, he could have done anything he wanted. He just simply said, look at my hands. Look at my pierced hands in my glorified body that are still in heaven today. He said, look at my hands. Go to verse 44. And Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So now with you, that's past and now present. So we have the historical Jesus, and now we have the risen Jesus, the same person, okay? Now watch this. While I was still with you, that I spoke to you, he says, that all things, and what's that word? Must. It's so important, loved one. all things must be fulfilled, which were written in what? The law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Old Covenant. And the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms concerning me. And look what Jesus did. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is a divine must. It's necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Again, it is with the heart that we believe, okay? Before the mind can comprehend. You can't do it that. Remember before you came to Christ. Maybe you read the Bible or tried to read the Bible and you just could not get it. It did not, the begots and all the rest of it, you know? And you just couldn't, it didn't make sense to you, even though it's a living book. Well, you know why? Because it's 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, a person who is not born again, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. They can't welcome the things of God. Why? They're foolishness to him, the Bible says. It just doesn't make sense. You cannot comprehend it with here. It has to be alive in here, and then it gets up here. Amen? And that's what Jesus is saying. And what did Jesus just say? Listen very carefully, loved one. Jesus, he was saying to them, I was crucified on a real cross. Amen? Jesus went to a real cross, and he did so in real time in that century, in a real historical location that is still on the map today. Amen? And not only that, he suffered a real death. He shed real blood. He was placed in a real tomb, and on the third day rose from the dead, listen carefully, in a real physical glorified body that will never, no, never, no, never die. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 3. Let me turn with you. Well, let me go ahead, read verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you've believed in vain. Look at verse 3. Very, very important. Why did Jesus die? You ready? For I delivered to you, Paul writes to this young church, first of all, meaning in priority, the number one important thing, I just delivered to you, first of all, that which I what? Received. Paul didn't invent the gospel, did he? No, he received it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says, which I received, that Christ died for what? But how did he die for our sins? One more time. According to the scriptures, very important. That means that Jesus' life was not an accident. It wasn't a tragedy. It was the divine plan of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Amen? So he says, according to the scriptures. So out of all the revelation that Jesus could have given Paul first, man, he says, no, the first thing I want you to know is that I died a real death. And I died a real death. And why? I died to pay for the sins of the world. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. He was the sinless Son of God, and he died for the sins of the world, for my sins, your sins. And any person who doesn't believe, whether they call themselves a Christian or they're not a believer, who say to themselves, or in other words, if they don't understand the cross, they don't understand it, because why would somebody die for my sins? Because I'm a good person. You know what I mean? I'm not that bad. I mean, you know, and so forth. No. They're slow of heart to believe, and they don't get it. Sin has a penalty. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, loved one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Bible teaches us that there's a verdict for sin. You know, Jesus, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. And then Jesus continued, "For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent the Son into the world that the world might be saved through him." Amen. Man, God loved you. God loves us. He loves everyone so much. Romans 5:8, "For God proves or demonstrates his own love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." His love proved how much he cares. Now look at verse 4 or 3 again. That Christ died for our sins, and it tells us such an important word, that according to the scriptures. Now look at verse 4. "And that Jesus, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day." How? Why? Say it one more time. According to the scriptures. Oh, that's so important. So Jesus died according to the scriptures. Jesus was buried according to the scriptures and rose the third day. Now, listen to me now. God loves us so, so much. And why did God, our Father in heaven, why did he give mankind so many supernatural facts and so many truths about the death and resurrection of Jesus? Why? Listen, let me ask you a question. Why was the death of Jesus, on Good Friday, is you who sat here and we celebrated communion together, and from 12 to 3, when Jesus was made sin, when darkness covered the face of the earth, when his face became more marred than any man, his face looked not like a human but like an animal. That's what sin of the world did to our Savior. Why did God give us so many facts, and why were the Roman soldiers and even the people who were supposed to represent God, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, why were they so vicious and why were they so cruel? You ever ask yourself those questions? Why did they rip his back to pieces? And they did it with joy. But Jesus didn't say a word. Why did they rip his back to pieces? And why did they take joy in pulling out his beard? Why did they take joy, loved one, those Roman soldiers, and when they pulled out his beard and started spitting in his face? Why? You know why? According to the scriptures. Do you understand? God's word is so true. According to the scriptures, written 1,000 years before that happened to Jesus. You know what Isaiah said in Isaiah 50, verse 6, about the Messiah? He says, "I give my back to those who struck me." Those are the ones who put a sack, a cloth over the face of our Lord. And the Roman soldiers, 600 Roman soldiers were there. And they beat him unmercifully. And then they would say unto him, "If you be the Son of God, prophesy unto us, who smote thee or who hit thee?" You see, all the horrible things. Jesus, the Messiah, said, "I give my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and their spitting." Question, why does Scripture tell us that, why was Jesus placed between two robbers? You ever ask yourself those questions? I mean, why? Why did that happen? Why was Jesus' hands pierced and his feet pierced? Why did they gamble? Why did they take his clothes off and gamble for his garments, except for the beautiful robe that he wore that was seamless? It was woven in one solid piece. They cut that up, the Roman soldiers, and divided it into four pieces among them. Then they gambled for the rest of his clothing. Why did they do that? What, you know why? Let me tell you. It was because, according to the scriptures, written 1,000 years, loved one, before Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. 1,000 years. Listen to Psalm 22. It is a messianic psalm. It's a picture of Jesus dying upon the cross. It says, "Oh, the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me." Here it comes. "They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look up and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing, they gamble," or they cast lots. Why did that happen? because it was according to the scriptures. How much more does God have to prove that he is God and that God's word is living and true and it will always come to pass no matter what God says? It will never return void. Amen? Remember Peter Stoner, many of the services and Resurrection Sunday service in the past, I've quoted him, that celebrated mathematician. He took just 8 prophecies. And let me give them to you from the Bible. 8 prophecies about the Messiah. Number 1, he had to be betrayed by a friend. Not just anyone. He had to be betrayed by a friend. What was his name? Judas. Not only that, he had to be sold out for 30 pieces, not 20 pieces, not 10 pieces, but 30 pieces, not gold, but what? Silver. They had to then take the silver, and that 30 pieces of silver had to be cast onto a floor. But Zacharias' prophecy says not just any floor. It had to be the floor of the temple. Amen? Think about that. And not only that, then that 30 pieces of silver, it's prophesied that it had to be used to purchase a what? Potter's field. And that person about who that's all about, who is about someone born in Bethlehem. Now listen to what Peter Stoner says. The chances of any one man fulfilling just 8 prophecies is 1/10 of the 17th power. That's 17 zeros, loved one. In other words, they all came true in just one man. Think of that. Just one man. In other words, it's an impossibility for that to happen, yet it happened in just one man. What does that mean? It means Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It means that the word of God is true. Every word of God is true. It means that God created the universe. I don't care what scientists tell us. You know, the Artemis rocket with those people on board, praise the Lord, they're on the way to the moon. But let me tell you who created the moon. God created the moon. Why? We have proof. What is it called? It's called the living word of God. Listen, Noah really did build an ark. Jonah really found himself in a whale. Amen? You know what this means? Because God's word is true, and it is true. It means that you really were, all of us that are in Christ. Listen to me now. You really were chosen before the world was ever made. You really were. We're not some mistake, and he takes people that are drug addicts and drunks and adulterers and fornicators and murderers and thieves, and guess what he does? He makes them brand new. Amen. That means that every one of our sins, God can't lie. When we come to him, not only does he forgive us of all of our sins, all of our sins. Jesus didn't die for a few sins. He died for all the sins of all mankind. He paid the eternal price. It means that God really doesn't remember our sin anymore. He doesn't. It means not only were you chosen before the world began, it means that we really are right now, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, it means that you really have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? You are the most blessed people on this planet, because God's word is totally true. And wherever God is leading you in this life, if you're leading you, that means you are following. 2 Corinthians, 2:14? He, or maybe it's 1 Corinthians. It doesn't matter. I'm slow of mind, but I'm not slow of heart. He always leads us in victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. That means that this world really is passing away. But he who does the will of God endures forever, loved one. The Bible is true. It's always according to the scriptures. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. And it means if a person is an Adam and doesn't get out of Adam, you are going to die. But if you are in Christ, you have been made alive and you will never, never die. Amen? Amen. Now listen carefully. The resurrection means this. Those who are in Christ, those who are born again, those who are in Christ will never do they ever have to fear death. Why? According to the scriptures. That's so important. According to the scriptures. Listen, question. On the cross, did Jesus Christ taste death for everyone? Think of that. Now, that word, you've heard me teach you, the word tasted means to whatever death really is. Death is an enemy. Death is going to be cast into hell one day. Amen? Whatever death is, Jesus tasted it, meaning he fully experienced the depth, the fullness of whatever death is, so you would never, if you're in him, you would never, no, never, no, never, ever taste it. Never. Oh, loved one, no, never, never, never. The Bible teaches that Jesus abolished death on the cross. He abolished it. He defeated it. And that means surrender unactive. Death has been unemployed for the Christian. Let's put it that way, okay? Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, and somebody will say, well, now, Bill, wait. You know what? You're going to do a funeral on Tuesday. A Christian brother. Yes, I am. And we all are going to die one day. I don't believe that. Now, Bill, are you getting ready to be a heretic? No, I don't believe that because I believe this. I believe according to the scriptures. Turn to John chapter 11. Remember when Jesus, as I turn there with you, remember when Jesus was sent word by Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick. And they wrote to him and they said, oh, he received the note, said, oh, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. What did Jesus say? Look at verse 4. And when Jesus heard that in John 11, 4, Jesus said, well, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now listen, we know the story. Jesus waited a few days longer, he and the disciples. He finally had to tell the disciples that were with him. He said, well, you know, Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep. And the disciples, oh, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to do good. When you're sick, you need to be sleeping. Jesus finally just said, okay, listen, he's dead. Okay, he's dead. Now, go to verse 18. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them according to their brother. And it says, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, and this is tender, she's not being mean, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can heal him, you can do anything, but he's dead now. But then she says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, oh, well, your brother will rise again. Now, let's stop right there. The word again is not in the Greek, okay? It's not there. So Jesus was saying, oh, these flowers are good. Jesus said, sorry, Lord. Jesus said, your brother will rise. And Martha said to him, oh, well, I know that he will rise again. Here it comes. In the resurrection at the last day. So Martha's correct. But Martha she's looking at resurrection as a doctrine, okay? As an event. But what Jesus was saying to her, oh, no, no. This is a present reality, Martha. And Jesus said to her, the fifth I am, okay, of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Meaning I am the eternal present tense. I am who I am. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now listen, and whoever lives in what? Believes in me shall never die. Do you know that is a double negative in the Greek? It would read something like this. No, he will never, no, never, never die. He will never taste everlasting death. He will never be separated from God. And he says, do you believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. Now listen, according to the scriptures, Jesus just said something, loved one. We're Christians. Listen to what he said. He said, whoever lives and believes in me shall what? Never die. I'm going to ask you a question. There in the garden, who was there? Oh, Adam and Eve. There you go. when they were in the garden and there was only one command, God told them, you can eat of everything you want. And you know, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't you eat it, because in the day you eat it, you're going to die, surely die. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that since Adam and Eve had never seen death, do you think they understood what the word die meant? I don't know. Maybe they did. I'm just, it's a question. It's something to ponder. And maybe Adam and Eve talk later. What's this death thing? Die? What did he mean by that? I don't know. But I know this. The day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now, did they eat of the forbidden tree? Did they die? Right? Did they fall over dead right then? No, they didn't, did they? They didn't fall over dead. No. Did they die? Yes. What, Adam, about 950 years, whatever it was, later. Now listen, in Adam, all die, but we are not in Adam's family. Amen? Okay, now listen. Those who were dead and been made alive, we have the life in us that defeated death, and we can never die again. Do you understand that? Oh, listen. According to the scriptures, the life that Jesus gives to you, to give to me, anyone who receives him, the life that Jesus gives is not and cannot ever be affected by death. Does that make sense? Yes. So to receive Christ is to receive his very life where? Inside of you. So right now, life and death, Christian, life and death, they're happening right now in your physical body. You have his life living in you. And when our bodies give way to physical death, death instantly can't do one thing to you. Do you understand? That's what the resurrection is all about, loved one. We have the very life of Christ, his life in us. Christ in me, again, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Now, listen, according to the scriptures, let me read this to you. Romans 8:1, you know this scripture. There is now, therefore now, no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, okay? Here it comes. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ Jesus? Okay, listen to Romans 8:9, according to the scriptures. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells or lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, our bodies are subject to sin, but I'm not. The new creation is not. Are you all with me? Very, very important, loved one. No, he says, but the Spirit of life because of the righteous, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does. Amen. It says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life to the mortal bodies, his Spirit who dwells in you. One more. According to the scriptures, Galatians 2:20. What did Paul say? He said, I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ, meaning I have been co-crucified with Christ. In other words, what happened to Jesus, Paul legally experienced, okay? Legally, judicially by God. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Oh, no. He says, but Christ lives where? In me. Christ lives in you. He says, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. Jesus is the resurrection, but Jesus is also the life, or the source of life. We have his life, and it is absolutely impossible for death to defeat you. Do you understand? Death is an enemy, and God treats it as an enemy. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Yes. Now, I'm right on time, so don't worry. According to the scriptures, Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we're on planet Earth, but right now we're a small colony of heaven. Amen? We're citizens of heaven. He says, from which we also eagerly wait. Yes, we are, Lord, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rapture. And look what will happen. Who will transform our lowly body. In other words, our mortal body will be transformed. It will become immortal. That it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. Now listen carefully. The resurrection means that those who are in Christ never, ever have to fear death. Why? According to the scriptures. Here comes one from our Lord, John 5:25. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes him who sent me, has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment. Isn't that wonderful to know? We're going to go to the Bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards, not the great white throne judgment. We're not. Jesus took our judgment. Amen? Okay. And he says, but has, that means has already, has passed from death into life. That's who you are, loved one. Oh, listen, now, but the resurrection means also something else. Those who are not in Christ, that's horrible. They're not in Christ. They will face the second death. The second death. Why? According to the scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:28, he says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all, every person that's ever been born, all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Done good doesn't mean that you be good and you earn heaven. You can't be good enough. Amen? It's by grace. To the resurrection of life. And those who've done evil, to the resurrection, you're going to be raised again. But it says to condemnation, to judgment. Every person that has ever lived from Adam to the very end, loved one, all the people from that through history, every person will be resurrected one day. Why? Death is not the end. Every person that has died is living someplace right now. Amen? Think of that. That is a true, true reality, loved one. And listen, there's no escape. Those who are not in Christ, listen, if you're here and you're not in Christ, you're listening live and you're on the radio, whatever. Listen now. If you're not in Christ, this is not my words, this is the words of God, and they're real, they're true. It says, if you're not in Christ, loved one, listen, you're going to face what's called the great white throne judgment. If you will not have Jesus as your Savior, then Jesus, you'll have him as your judge. Did you know that every person ever born will one day meet Jesus? Think about that. According to the scriptures in Revelation 20:14, it says, then death, that's our last enemy, and Hades. Hades is the place of the wicked dead right now. When a person dies today, they don't go to hell. Hell's in the future. They go to Hades, a place of torment and suffering. And it says, then death and Hades, they were cast into the lake of fire. What's the lake of fire? That's Gehenna. That's the eternal hell. And it says, and anyone not found written their names, in other words, in the book of life, if you're not saved, was cast into the lake of fire, the place of everlasting torment, eternal hell. And he says, this is a second death. What is a second death? You die all over again, but this time it's eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. Someone said the other day to me, oh, Bill, all roads lead to God. And I said, they certainly do. But only one road leads to heaven. Amen. Only through one person, Jesus Christ. Yeah, how does a person escape the second death? Well, according to the scriptures. There's only one way and one person who can save you if you don't know him. Who died for you and who loves you. Jesus said, according to the scriptures, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He says, I'm the only way you'll ever make it to heaven. Acts 4:12, I'm the only one name that a person can be saved. Only one name given unto man. All of mankind. Only one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. According to the scriptures, you want to escape the second death. You want to be, here's how you do it. Jesus told us in John 3:3 and 3:5. He says, You must be born again. You've got to get out of Adam and into Christ. Born again, become a brand new creation. Sins are forgiven. Names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You live, you become a citizen of heaven, and you can get to serve the Lord, and he will gift you, and it'll be the greatest adventure of your life. And yes, people will hate your guts if you become a Christian. I meant that. I would never do that to the world, but I'll do it in here. I don't care who hates me. I just know who loves me, who died for me, who will never leave me, who will never forsake me, who is for me when I fail. Do you know that Jesus is closer to those Christians when they fail than he is to the righteous when they don't? Oh God, the Lord is my shepherd. He was leading you, guiding you. He restores your soul. If you're Christian, if you're walking out there in the world and you don't know and you've forgotten and you're in living like hell, he wants you back. He loves you. No, you must be born again, because you can't even see the kingdom of God. Jesus said you can't even enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And you know what the tragedy is? The tragedy today about life is that it ends so soon and that we wait so long to start living life. Life is a flash. Man, you're 16 and then you're 76 years old. Do you understand? No, it is. It's a flash. And you go, how in the world did it get here so quick? And you go, well, I'm living my life. Well, okay, what's next for you then? If you're a young person, you might go, man, I can't wait till I'm ready. I want to finish high school and get out. Well, what's next? Well, maybe I'll go to college and get my degree. Okay, well, what's next? Well, maybe I'll find that woman or that guy and get married. Okay, well, then what's next? Well, come on, you can tell me what's next. Well, maybe I'm going to have children. Then what's next? You're going to support them, I'll tell you that. What comes next? Well, then you're going to have grandchildren. And you go, oh, hallelujah, you know. No, you understand. What's next? You're old. And then you say, I'm going to retire on the beach. That's what I'm going to do. Then you need to ask yourself a question. What's next? It's death. It's death. It's death. And you're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. And you're not ready. You're not prepared. But now you have no choice and there's no escape if you're not in Christ. You know, those that are listening live and here, if you don't know Jesus, if you're living, you call yourself a Christian, but you're living like hell, you listen to me now. You need to get right. You need to come back. You need to be born again, those who don't know Christ. And listen, how do you do that? According to the Scripture. It's all written out for us. It's all living. It's all right there in your Bibles. Let me read this according to the Scripture. Here it comes right now, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, right here, and if you believe, not here, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you ready for this? It says you will be saved. Why? Well, for with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, resulting in salvation. For whoever calls, let me add to that. Whoever calls, no matter your condition, no matter if you are in the worst bondage of your life right this minute, no matter how horrible life is for you, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is according to the Scriptures. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Today, this is for those, maybe this early service, if you don't know Christ, Maybe you finally showed up, you've been out of church for a year, but it's Easter and you came back, but you're living together. You're living in sin. You're living for the world. I'm telling you, today is your day because the darkness is already here. The darkness is already here. You need to come to Christ right now. And if that's you, no one looking around, please, and every Christian praying, you say, Bill, how do I get saved then? Well, I just told you how. But I don't know who you are unless you do something. You have to lift your hand high and put it right. Yes, God bless you. You have to lift your hand high and hold it just for a second so I can see it. I'm old. Hold it high and put it right back down. I saw one hand. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. If you feel the Holy Spirit pounding on your heart, you better get right. This may be your last opportunity, and you may never hear this again. Anyone else before I pray? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. That's right. Quickly. Oh, don't fight, please, in Jesus' name. Lift it high. Put it right back down, that last one. I know you're here. I know it. Quickly, last call. I'll not ask again. God bless you. That's right. As our heads are bowed, those who lifted your hands, we're going to pray. I want you to pray with me. And maybe you're listening live, and you're saying, Bill, I want Christ. I'm living like hell. I want to be saved. Well, then you just pray this prayer with me too. Now, church, I'm asking you, would you help me pray right now? Say, Father, according to the Scripture, I heard your word. You cannot lie. Your word is true and living. You said if I would confess Jesus with my mouth, if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord, and if I believed it in my heart, that you raised him from the dead, you would save me. I believe. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. I want to live for Jesus. So right now, in Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.